Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more.
And much, much more. And a whole lot more. Hosted by Duchess. Hi, family. It is I. I'm here. And I guess I can say I'm glad March is over. So much trauma and stuff went on with me in March that I'm really looking forward to lots of blessings in April. Not that there weren't blessings in March, but I think my blessings and my trauma and all kinds of things that went on with me were kind of like, you know, the balancing of the scales. How much can we take? Oh, not too much? Well, let's give you a little bit of relief. Oh, too much relief? Well, let's give you a little bit of challenge. You know, I started talking back in March about the surgery that I was going to have, and I had the surgery. Well, first, why don't we say Happy Palm Sunday? Why don't we say Ramadan Mubarak, because Muslims are during their Ramadan fast. Easter is coming up. There's a lot of good stuff going on, you know, so I don't want to jump right in and talk about, you know, surgery stuff. And how many of you know what it is to do a Ramadan fast? Not many. So let's see what we can do in talking about Ramadan. What is Ramadan? For those of you who don't know. So, what is Ramadan fasting? What are the rules for Ramadan fasting? During Ramadan, Muslims abstain from eating any food, drinking any liquid, smoking cigarettes, and engaging in sexual activity from dawn to sunset, okay? Well, they say that includes taking medication, but come on. A lot of Muslims are exempt from Ramadan if they have to take medication, and they can't stop taking the medication that they're taking because they may die. I mean, please. Well, the medication can be taken in the evening at night when they break their fast. So, that's what some of the questions of Ramadan. Ramadan is the most sacred month of the year for Muslims. The Prophet Muhammad reported, he said, when the month of Ramadan starts, the gates of heaven are open and the gates of hell are closed and the devils are chained. So, Ramadan is a very special month for the Muslims, as is Easter for the Christians. So, why don't we find out why? I have my trusty computer here. Now, what you need to know is Islam follows a lunar calendar. So Ramadan and the fasting rotates throughout all the seasons of the year, and everybody's holiday, Ramadan may bump right into it, you know? That's why Ramadan is right here in the month along with Easter, whereas in the past, Ramadan has showed up during December because Ramadan follows a lunar calendar. And Easter is one of the principal holidays or feasts of Christianity. It marks the resurrection of Jesus 3 days after his death by crucifixion. So many Christian churches, for many Christian churches, Easter is the joyful end of the Lenten season of fasting and penitence. So we have a number of holidays that coincide with one another. And like I say, the month of Ramadan, it glides through a lunar calendar. So Muslims have the opportunity to fast when we have long summer days and the opportunity to fast when we have those short winter nights, winter days. The benefits to being over in the East during Ramadan is most everything closes down all day long, and the Muslims get up and they eat and they're festive in the evening until dawn, whereas those of us here in the West, you have your Muslims with the challenge of going to work throughout the month of Ramadan every day and breaking their fast later on in the evening. And it's amazing. It's it can be done. So with that, let me see. My challenges for the month of March just kind of overflowed and spilled into April. On the 8th, I had this massive surgery. It seemed that I might be trying to save a kidney from getting lost. But what it was found was a surgery I had 20 years ago with a colon resection where they took out a little slice of the colon and reattached. Scar tissue from the colon would sit next to the ureter, which is the tube that takes waste from my kidney and empties it in through that tube into my bladder. Well, my kidney wasn't able to release as fast as it needed to be, and it started swelling because that tube was being strangled by scar tissue from the previous 20-year-old colon resection. So what they thought they were going to have to do was slice out that resection, that section right there of the colon and the ureter, then reattach the colon and reconstruct a ureter connecting from my kidney to my bladder, or possibly lose the kidney altogether. Well, thank goodness for the surgery. The colon surgeon, which was the lead surgeon, what he did was go deep in separating that old scar tissue and cleaning it out, but he had to go deep. So that's why I had a massive surgery. And they consider it not as bad as it could have been because it could have been worse. So here I am. Here I was, 40 staples down my midsection. I came out of the hospital, was home on the 14th. I was so happy to be out of that hospital. I didn't know what to do. They say it, there is no rest. There is no rest for the weary in the hospital. Unless you're really, really out of it, then you don't know the stuff that they're doing to you 24/7 in the hospital. So I got home on the 14th. And it was on the 19th, 5 days later, I got a call from my sister. My firstborn's friend was looking for him to take him to work, and she couldn't reach him. And so they did what's called a wellness check with the landlord and the police department. And my firstborn, age 55, born on the 4th of July, he would have been 56, was found unresponsive in his apartment, laying on the kitchen floor. So, that was something that was to be faced. Thank goodness for my daughter, North Carolina, and a son, my youngest son that lives here with me, well, not with me in my domicile, but lives in the same state. They traveled up to Rhode Island to secure my oldest son's remains. They, my three remaining children, they split the cost to have their brother cremated. And a lot of you out there who are Muslims, I understand what cremation means to you, but my oldest son had embraced Christianity prior to his passing, so they felt that it'd be easier for him to be cremated and his remains brought down to me for a memorial service in Virginia. So that's kind of sort of where I'm at as far as my health, as far as my loss. I've been processing it. You know, and I'm sure the grieving in the morning, all of that will hit me sometime after this physical healing begins to take hold, because it's real. You know how they say that the mind, when you have a backache and then you stub your toe, Your back is in pain, you stub your toe, your brain can only absorb one pain at a time. It can only focus on one pain at a time. And so it's the toe or the back, whichever one the brain feels is most excruciating. If it gets about the other, well, you see, I have the pain of healing from surgery, and I have the pain of loss of my firstborn. And so there's a battle going on in my head, not intentionally, but sometimes I dwell on one, and then there are times when I have to dwell on the other. And then there are times when I just sit and think of nothing. It's like the nothing just kind of sets in. And I believe that's the point of gratitude, you know, because I have a neighbor who has brought me the most amazing tomato egg drop soup. I've never had egg drop soup. It's amazing. She just texted me and said, 11 o'clock Monday, she's going to make some tomato egg drop soup. She will be delivering some. It's so good. I have another friend that brought me a gallon of potato soup. I have a coworker who does elections with me, who brings me specifically what I ask for. Regular Seagram's ginger ale, because not every ginger ale you drink has ginger in it. As with Canada Dry, there's no ginger in Canada Dry. I don't even know how they've gotten to use that name for so long. I've had a lady come by here to sit with me and keep me company and help me bathe, because I should not be alone trying to get in and out of the tub to take a shower. I've got Meals on Wheels, and the best meal that they could have given me was St. Patrick's Day with that nice slab of corned beef, and I've been craving corned beef ever since. You know, I have a friend that lives up in upstate New York who calls me every day, and we sit on the phone and visit, and she makes me laugh. I have a daughter who is amazing, who did all of that amazing work, did, my youngest son calls it the administrative work. She did the administrative work in putting together an obituary and putting together the announcement for with his picture to be distributed for his memorial service. And then I have my son in California who did Google Voice. So there's a phone number on there that people can call to RSVP that's not attached to any personal phone number, but it's attached to a Gmail. They call, they leave a message, and then that Gmail notifies that there's a message. And then I have my youngest son who drove from Virginia all the way up to Rhode Island to clear out his brother's clothes and everything. And they did that. They did that within a couple of days. So I have an amazing group of people that are surrounding me. And like I say, sometimes they say the brain can only absorb one pain at a time. Stub your toe or prick your finger. The vein is going to pick up on the one that's the most excruciating and is going to leave the other one alone. And in my case, my brain is absorbing the pain and the healing that I'm going through, but it's also having to absorb the pain and the loss of my firstborn. So once again, you know, the gratitude of sitting there in what I call the dead zone, where I'm not thinking about anything. Or I may just put on something on the TV and sit there and let my brain think about that rather than think about, you know, the incision in my gut or the loss of my son. So, like I say, we're not going to be on long. This is April's Gratitude. And I don't know if you have your books. But since I don't know, then I'm going to read a little bit of this to you. Because I like the fact, I don't know how, well, I like this woman and atonement. Mercy and atonement. What is mercy and atonement? Mercy versus atonement. I wonder if there is a does atonement teach us about God's mercy? Well, I don't want to get off into all that. So let's just read what the lady book has to say. She says, April ushers in the exuberance of spring. The month begins with April Fool's Day, the day of the trickster, when we test our gullibility in a playful, good-natured way, without doing harm. Yes, you can say that if you want to, but I'm going to tell you, the universe is full of tricksters. There's a lot of stuff going on around us, you know? I mean, you know, like, I believe our creator has a sense of humor. And sometimes we may not find it funny. So, like, for instance, my firstborn, I remember saying to my firstborn, I know we can't get together on this side of my surgery, so what we'll do is I'll meet you on the other side of my surgery. Well, on the other side of my surgery, my son was dead, and I sure had no intentions of desiring to meet him on the other side of my surgery like that. So I'm telling you that the universe is full of a lot of, you know, kind of trickster type shit that we're not aware of, that, you know, that's not what I meant. You know, like, I didn't intend that I was going to die during surgery and meet you on the no. But that's what I said to him. We can't come together right now, so I'll meet you on the other side of my surgery. And then on the other side of my surgery, my son was gone. So there is a lot of tricksterish stuff that goes on around us every day. Okay, when we discover we have been fooled and feel a little charging, we cannot help but laugh. And yeah, I chuckled about that just ever so slightly. And this is because we take a secret delight in our own naivety. Yeah, I was naive in the words that I threw out there, because I did not know that the end result was going to be what happened on the 19th, and he was found unresponsive. I appreciate the gentleness of my sister presenting that to me also. It is a challenge to be unhappy during this season of vibrant growth, and it is easy to experience spontaneous outpourings of gratitude. With the lengthening daylight, the vivid colors of blossoming trees, and the subtle scent of warming earth, our sensory experiences call us again and again, reminding us of the miracles found at every turn. We can be startled into thankfulness at any moment during this time of year. This is my favorite time of year, you know, when the days are longer and the sun's shining through the window. And I'm sure this too shall pass. And I'm, you know, my gratitude and one of my blessings is that all of this trauma that I'm having to face, I'm able to face it in the daylight, in the sunlight. Because I'm going to tell you, nighttime is not easy for me. Night, I don't like the dark. I don't like the night. And I don't like not being able to sleep in the dark and in the night. And I relish being in the sun. And I have a second bedroom where the sun just flows through the window like crazy. And I'll be glad when it warms up a bit so I can open up my balcony window and let some fresh air flow through. But this has always been my time of the year, my favorite time of the year. And if anything like this stuff that's going on with me right now had to happen, my gratitude is that it happened during this time of the year. It will probably help me process a bit gentler than if it was cold, dark, dank winter time. No? So she goes on with her book and she talks about April's spiritual meanings. April has great significance in the many spiritual traditions of the world. Depending upon the tradition in question, it can be a time of sanctification, purification, surrender, redemption, liberation, or resurrection. Again, Ramadan Mubarak. Because she goes on to say, the word Islam itself means surrender, to submit one's life to God. The daily Islamic prayers, the daily Islamic practices of prayer and bowing are acts of surrender and extending honor to God's will. In the Judaic tradition, Passover offers an opportunity to be liberated from selfishness, to grow in love, and ultimately to become love. Easter is the time when Christians celebrate the purification inherent in redemption, liberation, and resurrection. In his book, The Redemption, The Redemptive Self, Stories Americans Live By, D.P. McAdams has found the personal redemption and expressions of deep gratitude are consistent themes in the lives of highly generative people. Those who produce benefit for themselves and others. Among the most generative adults, the desire to express gratitude for the benefits enjoyed in life, or even for life itself, becomes something of a credo in their life stories. In all the spiritual traditions and redemption stories, human beings return to and experience the natural states of freedom, love, humility, and goodness. So it is that April holds the twin blessings of nature's spectacular renewal and the soul's sanctification and redemption. You know, I purchased this book as a used book, and I happened to come across some notes from the previous owner where she or he was talking about liberating powers of mercy and forgiveness, love, humility, and more goodness. This person talked about empathy, and an empath is one who can, when you relate your own suffering to that of others, that's an empath, empathy. Oh, this person indicated that by far the strongest poison to the human spirit is the inability to forgive oneself or another person. It disables a person's emotional resources. Wherever we are closed-hearted, we are holding on to grudges, resentments, and old disappointments. So, you know, no one is to blame for what the heck, you know, we go through. My mother used to say it is, was it meant to be, it wouldn't be. Nothing happens by chance. You know, whoever is present was meant to be present. Whatever happened, if it happened, it was the only thing that could happen. You know? I don't think I'm going to talk much longer. I think it's time for me to go and find something to put in my stomach. I've been up since this morning, trudging around the apartment. I'm getting better without this rollator. I got this walker with wheels that my building director lent to me. It was here in the apartment when I got here, bless her heart. It helps me get to the bathroom quick flash because it's wheels and I can hold on while it just pulls me. But, I'm going to find something to eat and maybe take a nap. I just wanted to let everyone out there know that I'm still here. I feel blessed to still be here. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And evidently, that's why God intended for me to be still here. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my children, I'm grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for all the people and everyone for their love and their caring, for their love and their caring. And with that, I'm going to say, may you have a happy Easter, and for my Muslim family, Ramadan Mubarak. And this is Duchess. This is Duchess signing off. Inshallah, if it's the will of God. I'll be back here again on the 16th. Take care. Stay blessed. Ooh. Thank you.